That's a make-things-bigger device, isn't it? Said Lord Rust. My word, you are up to date. They were invented only last year. I didn't buy this, my lord. I inherited it from my grandfather. The general looked through the eyepiece again. About 40 men, I'd say. Dear me, murmured Prince Kadram. Reinforcements, Lord Rust? The rider in the lead is holding a banner, I think, still rolled up. Certainly not, sire, said Lord Rust. Behind him, Lord Salachi rolled his eyes. Ah, now he's unfurling it. It's a white flag, sire. Someone wishes to surrender? The general lowered his telescope. They seem to be in a great hurry to do so, sire. Send a squad to apprehend them, said Prince Kadram. We will do so too, added Lord Rust, hurriedly, nodding to the lieutenant. Ah, a joint effort, said the prince. A few seconds later, groups of men detached themselves from each army and rode out on an interception course. Everyone saw the sudden glints of sunlight from the approaching cloud. Weapons had been drawn.
Fighting under a flag of surrender? That's immoral, said Lord Rust.
Novel, certainly, said the prince. The three companies would have met had it not been that even experts find it hard to judge how much ground a running camel can cover. By the time both commanders realized they should start to turn, they should already have been turning.
It seems your people misjudged things, sire, said Lord Rust.
I knew I should have had them led by white officers, said the prince, but, oh dear, it seems your men have been equally unlucky. He stopped. Some confusion had resulted. The foray parties had their instructions, but no one had told them what to do if they ran into the other foray party. And it was composed, after all, of men they were about to fight, and everyone knew they were treacherous, greasy towelheads, or perfidious, untrustworthy, sausage-eating madmen. And this was a battlefield, and everyone was frightened and therefore angry, and everyone was armed. Sam Vimes heard the shouting behind him, but had other things on his mind at this point. It is impossible to ride a running camel without concentrating on your liver and kidneys, in the hope that they won't be pounded out of your body. The thing's legs weren't moving right, he was sure. Nothing on normal legs could be jolting him around so much. The horizon jerked backwards and forwards, and up and down. What was it Ahmed had said? Vimes hit the camel hard and yelled, "Hut, hut, hut, hut." It accelerated. The jolts ran together so that his body was no longer being jolted, but was in effect in a permanent state of jolt. Vimes thrashed it again and tried to yell, "Hut, hut, hut, hut," although the word came out more like... In any case, the camel found some extra knees somewhere. There was more shouting behind him. Turning his head as much as he dared, he saw several of his accompanying dregs falling behind. He was certain he heard Carrot yell, but he couldn't be certain because of his own screaming.
"Stop, you bastard!" he yelled.
The tent was coming up fast. Vimes slapped the stick down again and hauled on the reins, and clearly, now judging with special camel sensitivity that this was the most embarrassing moment to stop, the camel stopped. Vimes slid forward, flung his arms around a neck that was apparently thatched with old doormats, and half fell, half dropped onto the sand. Other camels were thudding to a halt around him. Carrot grabbed his arm. "Are you all right, sir? That was amazing. You really impressed the Deregs, screaming defiance like that. And you were still shouting for the camel to go faster when it was already galloping." The guards around the tent were hesitating, but that wouldn't last long. The wind caught the white flag on Carrot's lance, making it snap. "Sir, this is all right, isn't it? I mean, usually a white flag..."
"Might as well show what we're fighting for, eh?"
"I suppose so, sir." Deregs had surrounded the tent. The air was full of dust and screams.
"What happened back there?"
"A bit of a fracas, sir. Our..." Carrot hesitated and then corrected himself. "That is, Ankh Morpork soldiers and Clachians have started fighting, sir, and the Deregs are fighting both of them."
"What, before the battle's officially declared? Can't you get disqualified for that?"
Vimes looked back at the guards and pointed to the flag.
"You know what this flag is?" he said. "Well, I want you to..."
"Aren't you Mr. Vimes?" said one of the Morporkians. "And that's Captain Carrot, isn't it?"
"Oh, hello, Mr. Smallplank," said Carrot. "Feeding you well, are they?
Yes, sir.
Vimes rolled his eyes. That was Carrot again, knowing everyone. And the man had called him sir. We just need to go through, said Carrot. We won't be a minute.
Well, sir, these towel...
Small Plank hesitated. Certain words didn't come so easily when the subjects were standing very close to you, looking very big and tooled up.
These Clatchians are on guard too, you see.
A stream of blue smoke was blown past Vimes's ear.
Good morning, gentlemen, said 71-hour Ahmed.
He had a dreg crossbow in each hand.
You will note that the soldiers behind me are also well-armed. Good. My name is 71-hour Ahmed. I will shoot the last man to drop his weapons. You have my word on it.
The Morporkians looked puzzled. The Clatchians began to whisper urgently. Put 'em down, boys, said Vimes. The Morporkians threw their swords down hurriedly. The Clatchians dropped theirs very shortly afterwards.
A tie between the gentleman on the left and the tall one with the squint, said 71-hour Ahmed, raising both crossbows.
Hey, said Vimes, you can't... The bows twanged. The men dropped, yelling.
However, said Ahmed, handing the bows to a dereg behind him, who handed him another loaded one, out of deference to the sensibilities of Commander Vimes here, I am settling for one in the thigh and one in the toes. We are, after all, on a mission of peace.
He turned to Vimes. I am sorry, Sir Samuel, but it's important that people know where they stand with me.
These two don't, said Vimes. They'll live.
Vimes moved closer to the Wali.
Hut, 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 he hissed. You told me that it meant...
I thought it would prove a good example to all if you were in the lead, Ahmed whispered. The dregs will always follow a man who is in a hurry for the fray.
Lord Rust stepped out into the sunlight and glared at Vimes.
Vimes! What the hell are you doing?
Not turning a blind eye, my lord.
Vimes pushed past and into the shade. There was Prince Kadram, still seated, and there were a lot of armed men. These, he noted almost in passing, didn't have the look of ordinary soldiers. They had the much tougher look of loyal bodyguards.
So, said the prince, you come in here armed under a flag of peace.
Are you Prince Kadram? Said Vimes.
And you too, Ahmed, said the prince, ignoring Vimes.
Ahmed nodded and said nothing.
Oh, not now, thought Vimes. Tough as leather and vicious as a wasp, but now he's in the presence of his king.
You're under arrest, he said.
The prince made a little sound between a cough and a laugh.
I'm what?
I am arresting you for conspiracy to murder your brother, and there may be other charges.
The prince put his hands over his face for a moment and then pulled them towards his chin, in the action of a tired man endeavouring to come to grips with a trying situation.
Mr.
he began.
Sir Samuel Vimes, Ankh-Morpork City Watch, said Vimes.
Well, Mr. Samuel, when I raise my hand, the men behind me will cut you down.
I will kill the first man that moves, said Ahmed.
Then the second man that moves will kill you, traitor,
shouted the prince. They'll have to move very fast, said Carrot, drawing his sword.
Any volunteers to be the third man? Said Vimes. Anyone?
General Ashal moved, but only very gently, holding up a hand. The bodyguards relaxed slightly.
What was that lie you uttered about a murder? He said.
Have you gone mad, Ashal? Said the prince.
Oh, sire, before I can disbelieve these pernicious lies, I do need to know what they are. Vimes, you have gone insane, said Rust. You can't arrest the commander of an army.
Actually, Mr. Vimes, I think we could, said Carrot. And the army, too. I mean, I don't see why we can't. We could charge them with behaviour likely to cause a breach of the peace, sir. I mean, that's what warfare is.
Vimes's face split in a manic grin. I like it.
But in fairness, the Ankh-Morpork army are also...
Then you'd better arrest them too, said Vimes. Arrest the lot of them. Conspiracy to cause an affray.
He started to count on his fingers.
Going equipped to commit a crime, obstruction, threatening behaviour, loitering with intent, loitering within tent.
travelling for the purposes of committing a crime, malicious lingering, and carrying concealed weapons.
I don't think that one, Carrot began.
I can't see him, said Vimes.
Vimes, I order you to come to your senses this minute, roared Lord Rust. Have you been out in the sun?
That's one count of offensive behaviour to his lordship as well, said Vimes. The prince was still staring at Vimes.
You seriously think that you can arrest an army, he said. Perhaps you think you have a bigger army.
Don't need one, said Vimes. Power at a point, that's what Tacticus says. And here, it's the one right on the end of Achmed's crossbow. That wouldn't frighten a dreg, but you, I reckon you don't think like them. Tell your men to stand down. I want the order to go out right now.
Even Achmed would not shoot his prince in cold blood, said Prince Kadram.
Vimes snatched the crossbow.
I wouldn't ask him to, he took aim. Give that order.
The prince stared at him.
Count of three, shouted Vimes.
General Ashal leaned down and whispered something to the prince. The man's expression stiffened, and he glanced back at Vimes again.
That's right, said Vimes. It runs in the family.
It would be murder.
Would it? In wartime? I'm from Ankh-Morpork. Aren't I supposed to be at war with you? Can't be murder if there's a war on. That's written down somewhere.
The general leaned down and whispered.
One,
said Vimes. Now there was a hurried argument.
Two.
My prince wishes me to say,
the general began.
All right, slow down, said Vimes.
If it makes you any happier, I will send out the order, said the general. Let the messengers leave.
Vimes nodded and lowered the bow. The prince shifted uneasily.
And the Ankh-Morpork army will stand down as well, said Vimes.
But Vimes, you're on our side, Rust began.
Bloody hell, I'm going to shoot someone today, and it could just be you, Rust,
Vimes snarled.
Sir,
Lieutenant Hornet tugged at his commander's jacket,
may I have a word?
Vimes heard them whispering, and then the young man left.
All right. We are all disarmed, said Rust. We are all under arrest. And now, Commander?
I ought to read them their rights, sir, said Carrot.
What are you talking about? Said Vimes.
The men out there, sir.
Oh, yeah, right. Do it, then.
Oh, gods, I arrested an entire battlefield, Vimes thought. And you can't do that, but I've done it. And we've only got 6 cells back at the yard, and we keep the coal in one of them. You can't do it.
Was this the army that invaded your country, ma'am?
No, officer, they were taller than that.
How about this one?
I'm not sure. Get them to march up and down a bit.
Carrot's voice could be heard outside, slightly muffled. Now, can you all hear me? You gentlemen in the back there, anyone who can't hear me, please raise... All right, has anyone got a megaphone? Some cardboard I could roll up? In that case, I'll shout.
What now? Said the prince.
I'm taking you back to Ankh-Morpork.
I don't think so. That would be an act of war. You are making a mockery of the whole business, Vimes, said Lord Rust.
So long as I'm doing something right, then,
Vimes nodded at Achmed.
Then you can answer for your crime here, sire, he said. In what court? Said the prince.
Achmed leaned closer to Vimes.
What was your plan from here on?
He whispered.
I never thought we'd get this far.
Ah, well, it has been interesting, Sir Samuel.
Prince Kadram smiled at Vimes.
Would you like some coffee while you are considering your next move? He said.
He gestured to an ornate silver pot on the table.
We've got proof, Vimes said.
But he could feel the world dropping away. The point about burning your boats is that you shouldn't be standing on them when you drop the match.
Really fascinating. And to whom will you show this proof, Sir Samuel?
We'll have to find a court.
Intriguing. A court in Ankh-Morpork, perhaps. Or a court here.
Someone told me that the world watches, said Vimes.
There was silence, except for the muffled sounds of Carrot outside and the occasional buzz of a fly.
Bingley, 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 beep.
The disorganizer's voice had lost its chirpy little edge and sounded sleepy and bewildered. Heads turned.
7 a.m., Organised defenders at Rivergate. 7:25, hand-to-hand fighting in Peach Pie Street. 7:48, 8:8, rally, survivors in Sartor Square. Things to do today, build barricades.
He was aware of surreptitious movement behind him and then slight pressure. Ahmed was standing back to back with him.
What is that thing talking about?
Search me. Sounds like it's in a different world, doesn't it?
He could feel events racing towards a distant wall. Sweat filled his eyes. He couldn't remember when he'd last had a proper sleep. His legs twinged. His arms ached, pulled down by the heavy bow.
Bingley. 8:02 a.m. Death of Corporal Little Bottom Bottom Bottom. 8:03 a.m. Death of Sergeant Detritus. 8:03:33:33 a.m. and 7 seconds, death of Constable Visit. 8:03 a.m. and 9:09:09 seconds, death of...
They say that in Ankh-Morpork one of your ancestors killed a king, said the prince, and he also came to no good end.
Vimes wasn't listening.
Death of Constable Dorful, 8:03 a.m. and 14 seconds.
The figure in the throne seemed to take up the whole world.
Death of Captain Carrot Eye and Foundus and Beep.
And Vimes thought, I nearly didn't come. I nearly stayed in Ankh-Morpork.
He had always wondered how old Stoneface had felt that frosty morning when he picked up the axe that had no legal blessing because the king wouldn't recognise a court even if a jury could be found, that frosty morning when he prepared to sever what people thought was a link between men and deity.
Beep! Things to do today, die.
The sensation flowed into his veins like fresh warm blood. It was the feeling that you got when the law ran out, and you looked into a mocking face on the other side of it, and you decided that you couldn't go on living if you did not step over the line and do one clean thing. There was shouting outside. He blinked away the sweat.
Ah, Commander Vimes, said a voice somewhere back over the border.
He kept his aching gaze sighted along the bow.
Yes?
A hand darted down and grabbed the arrow out of its groove. Vimes blinked. His finger automatically squeezed the trigger. The string slammed back with a thunk. And the look on the prince's face he knew would keep him warm on cold nights, if there were ever cold nights again. He'd heard them all die, but they weren't dead, and yet the damn thing had sounded so accurate. Lord Vetinari dropped the arrow fastidiously, like a society lady who has had to handle something sticky.
Well done, Vimes. I see you've got the donkey up the minaret.
Good morning, gentlemen. He gave the company a happy smile. I see I am not too late.
Vetinari, said Rust, seeming to wake up. What are you doing here? This is a battlefield.
I wonder.
The patrician gave him a very brief smile of his very own.
Outside there seem to be a lot of men sitting around. Many of them seem to be having what I believe is known in military parlance as a brew-up. And Captain Carrot is organising a football match.
He's what? Said Vimes, lowering the bow.
Suddenly the world had to be real again. If Carrot was doing something as dumb as that, things were normal.
Quite a large number of fouls so far, I'm afraid, but I wouldn't call it a battlefield.
Who's winning?
Ankh-Morpork, I believe, by 2 hack shins and a broken nose.
For the first time in ages, Vimes felt a little pang of patriotism. Everything else in life was in the privy, but when it came to gouging and kicking, he knew which side he was on.
Besides, Vetinari went on, I believe quite a large number of people are technically under arrest, and clearly a state of war is not in practical fact in being. It is merely a state of football. Therefore, I believe I am, shall we say, back. Excuse me, sire, but this won't take a moment.
He held up a metal cylinder and began to unscrew the end. For some reason, Vimes felt inclined to take a few steps away from it.
What's that?
I thought this might become necessary, said Vetinari.
It took some preparation, but I am certain it will work. I hope they are readable. We did our best to keep the damp off them. A thick roll of paper dropped out onto the floor. Commander, have you nothing you should be doing? He added. Refereeing, perhaps. Vimes picked up the roll and read the first few lines. Whereas, heretofore, etc., etc., city of Ankh-Morpork, surrender.
What?
Said Rust and the Prince together. Yes, surrender, said Vetinari cheerfully. A little piece of paper and it's all over. I think you'll find it all in order.
You can't, Rust began.
You can't, said the Prince.
Unconditionally, said General Ashal sharply.
Yes, I think so, said Vetinari.
We give up all claim to Leshp in favour of Klatch. We withdraw all troops from Klatch and our citizens from the island, and as for reparations, shall we say $250,000, plus various favourable trade arrangements, most favoured nation status and so on and so on. It's all here. Feel free to read it at your leisure.
He passed the document over the head of the prince and into the hands of the general, who flicked through the pages.
But we haven't got, Vimes began.
Perhaps I did get killed, he thought. I'm on the other side. Or someone hit me very hard on the head, and this is all some kind of mirage.
It's a forgery, snapped the prince. It's a trick. Well, sire, this man certainly does appear to be Lord Vetinari, and these do seem to be the official seals of Ankh-Morpork, said the general. Whereas, whereby without prejudice, ratification within 4 days, way of trade... Yes, this does, I have to say, look genuine.
I won't accept it.
I see, sire. It does, though, appear to cover all the points which in your speech last week you...
I certainly wouldn't accept it, Rust shouted.
He waved a finger under Vetinari's nose. You'll be banished for this. But we haven't got that money, Vimes repeated, but this time to himself. We're a very rich city, but we haven't got any actual money. The wealth of Ankh-Morpork is in its people, we're told, and you couldn't remove it with big pliers. He felt the wind change, and Vetinari watching him. And there was something about General Ashal, a certain hunger.
I agree with Rust, he said. This is dragging the good name of Ankh-Morpork into the mud.
To his mild surprise, he managed to say that without smiling.
We lose nothing, sire, General Ashal insisted. They withdraw from Klatch and Leshp.
"Damned if we will!" screamed Lord Rust.
"Right, and have everyone know we've been beaten?" said Vimes. "Outwitted?"
He looked at the prince, whose gaze was hunting from man to man, but occasionally staring at nothing, as if he was watching some inner vision.
"A quarter of a million is not enough," the prince said.
Lord Vetinari shrugged.
"We can discuss it. There is much that I need to buy."
Things of a sharp metallic nature, no doubt, said Vetinari.
Of course, if we are talking about goods rather than money, there is room for flexibility.
And now we're going to arm him too, Vimes thought.
You'll be out of the city in a week, Rust screamed.
Vimes thought the general smiled briefly. Ankh-Morpork without Vetinari, ruled by people like Rust. His future was looking bright indeed.
The surrender will need to be ratified and formally witnessed, however, said Ashal.
May I suggest Ankh-Morpork, said Lord Vetinari.
No, on neutral territory, of course, said the general.
But where between Ankh-Morpork and Klatch is there such a thing, said Vetinari.
I suppose there is Leshp, said the general thoughtfully.
What a good idea, said the patrician. That would not have occurred to me.
The place is ours anyway, snapped the prince.
Will be, sire, will be, said the general soothingly.
We will take possession quite legally while the world watches.
And that's it. What about my arrest, said Vimes. I'm not gonna...
These are matters of state, said Vetinari, and there are diplomatic considerations.
I am afraid the good ordering of international affairs cannot hinge upon your concerns over the doings of one man.
Once again, Vimes felt that the words he was hearing were not the words that were being said.
I won't, he began.
There are larger issues here, but sterling work, nevertheless. There are big crimes and little crimes, is that it? Said Vimes. Why don't you take some well-earned rest, Sir Samuel? You are, Vetinari flashed one of his lightning-fast smiles, a man of action. You deal in swords and chases and facts. Now, alas, it is the time for the men of words who deal in promises and mistrust and opinion. For you, the war is over. Enjoy the sunshine. I trust we shall all be returning home shortly. I would like you to stay, Lord Rust. Vimes realized that he'd been switched off. He spun around and marched out of the tent. Ahmed followed him.
That's your master, is it?
No. He's just the man who pays my wages.
Often hard to know the difference, said Ahmed sympathetically.
Vimes sat down on the sand. He wasn't certain how he'd been managing to stand up. There was some kind of a future now. He hadn't the faintest idea what was in it, but there was one. There hadn't been one 5 minutes ago. He wanted to talk now. That way he didn't have to think about the disorganizer's death roll. It had sounded so accurate. What's going to happen to you, he said, to drive the thought out of his mind. When this is over, I mean. Your boss isn't going to be pleased with you.
Oh, the desert can swallow me.
He'll send people after you. He looks the type.
The desert will swallow them.
Without chewing,
believe it.
It shouldn't have to be like this, Vimes shouted at the sky in general. You know, sometimes I dream that we could deal with the big crimes, that we could make a law for countries and not just for people, and people like him would have...
Ahmed pulled him upright and patted him on the shoulder.
I know how it is, he said. I dream too.
You do?
Yes.
Generally of fish.
There was a roar from the crowd.
Someone scored a convincing foul by the sound of it, said Vimes.
They slid and staggered up the side of a dune and watched.
Someone broke from the scrum and, punching and kicking, staggered towards the Clatchian goal.
Isn't that man your butler? Said Ahmed.
Yes.
One of your soldiers said he bit a man's nose off.
Vimes shrugged.
He's got a very pointed look if I don't use the sugar tongs.
I know that.
A white figure marched authoritatively through the mill of players, blowing a whistle.
And that man, I believe, is your king.
No.
Really? Then I am Queen Ponjitrum of Sumtri.
Carrots are copper, same as me.
A man like that could inspire a handful of broken men to conquer a country.
Fine. Just so long as he does it on his day off.
And he, too, takes orders from you. You are a remarkable man, Sir Samuel, but you would not, I think, have killed the prince.
No. But you'd have killed me if I had.
Oh, yes. Flagrant murder in front of witnesses. I am, after all, a copper.
They'd reached the camels. One looked round as Ahmed prepared to mount, thought better of spitting at him, and hit Vimes instead, with great precision. Ahmed looked back at the footballers.
Up in Clatchistan, the nomads play a game very similar to that, he said, but on horseback. The aim is to get the object round the goal.
Object? Probably best just to think of it as an object, Sir Samuel. And now I think I shall head that way. There are thieves in the mountains. The air is clear up there. As you know, there is always work for policemen.
You thinking of returning to Ankh-Morpork at any time?
You'd like to see me there, Sir Samuel?
It's an open city.
But be sure to call in at Pseudopolis Yard when you arrive.
Ah, and we can reminisce about old times.
No, so you can hand over that sword. We'd give you a receipt and you can pick it up when you leave.
I'd take some persuading, Sir Samuel.
Oh, I think I'd only ask once.
Ahmed laughed, nodded at Vimes, and rode away. For a few minutes he was a shape at the base of a column of dust, and then a shifting dot in the heat haze, and then the desert swallowed him.